Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
A very familiar scripture that I've heard preached on many times, and many times it's preached on watch night, or it's preached on the last year, last night of the year, as people anticipate a new beginning. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know, it's amazing that the Apostle Paul did not consider himself to have apprehended. And I've met so many people that do consider the fact that they are apprehended. They think they have. They think they've reached the pinnacle. But he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I want to preach to you on the subject tonight, forgetful faith. Forgetful faith. You may be seated. Paul, for all of his accomplishments, and he was one of the most learned people of his day, certainly the most learned person in the Christian church once he got saved. But for all that expertise, all that education, for all of his accomplishments, he was a very humble man. When he boasted in Christ. Secondly, sometimes it might seem like he was bragging, but he was simply like Jesse Duplantis. A lot of people think Jesse's just a smart aleck and bragging, but all Jesse is saying, I was nothing, and look where God brought me, and this is how it happened. And so the Apostle Paul used his testimony not as a way of bragging on himself, but as a way to inspire, no matter who you are, you can come to a place of completion and fulfillment and fruition and victory in Christ Jesus, a very humble man. He establishes that he doesn't even consider himself as one that has attained the highest level of Christian accomplishment. But he does declare this in this one verse, that he considers one thing that he has been able to perfect. That's what he said. But this one thing I do. One thing. One thing. He said, I consider this one thing that I have done, that I've been able to perfect in my life, to be a game changer. It literally changed my life. And he's setting it forth as a principle that every Christian should embrace, that it would change our lives. It's actually a two-faceted principle. I can forget those things that are behind me, and once I do that, it enables me to reach forward to the things which are before me. Now, this might seem to be easily done by some, but to most of us, it's not easily done. Forgetting those things behind, it's very hard to turn loose. To turn loose. But Paul said, I've mastered that one thing. To some, to a mass of people, it seems unobtainable. I just cannot forget. I've heard him talk about it. And in the old church, we could hear people testify, and they talked more about where they had been than where they were going. And that's always a problem. So it seems unobtainable to some of us. They're constantly robbed of a powerful present and an even greater future by the constant haunting of the past. Paul declares he has defeated that giant of the past to the ongoing victory. I have defeated the past, which enables me to go forward to obtain the things that are available to me. And Paul had a horrendous past. Brilliant, educated, articulate, with a horrible past. There is not anybody in this building that could compare your past with the Apostle Paul. It's amazing. With that past, that he could write 2/3 of the New Testament. Just amazing. He had a horrendous past. Greater than adultery, greater than gossip, greater than strife, greater than envy, greater than injurious conversation and competition and emulation. He had a terrible past. Whether we are aware of it or not, the greatest weapon against a tortuous past, much like a glorious faith, a glorious future, is faith. Dealing with your past and in counseling with people for 50 years, I can tell you that generally it deals with their past. Their past is nagging. Their past is haunting. Their past is deriding. Their past is reminding of them of how pitiful they are, just unable to escape the past. Let's take a brave look at the Apostle Paul's past. He was a religious terrorist. There is no more terrible people on the earth than a religious terrorist. That's what took the towers down. That's what took 3,000 lives plus in New York City. That's what kills men, women, and children all over the world today. In the name of religion, a religious terrorist is the worst person on the face of the earth. Not people that have religion, even though it might be wrong, but any religion that invokes in you hatred. I've seen Christian people that hate homosexuals. That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. It belies your heart. Not that you would not condemn the sin of homosexuality more than you would adultery, but to hate a homosexual or to hate a certain race of people or to be anti-Semitic, these are terrible, terrible spirits. They're demon spirits. And Paul was one of these people. In Acts chapter 22, verse 19, and I said, Lord, this is what he's talking about himself. And I said, Lord, they know. When the Lord called him, he said, I'm going to have a hard time finding a church. Paul was concerned about his ability to find a home church. Everybody didn't want him in their congregation, I can tell you that. He said, I said, Lord, they know that I have imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. The Apostle Paul said, I have beat in every, not one person, but I mean multiple people. He was a mass weapon by himself against Christianity. And he said, these Christians know that I've imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on Jesus. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and I kept the raiment or held the coats for them that slew him. He's talking about how terrible he was before Christ. Friend, the greatest praisers are those that can see where the Lord has brought them from, how far God has brought them from. Look at their life and say, man, what a life compared to the life I used to have. Those are the praisers. Those people that are self-righteous, that did God a favor by becoming a Christian, they're not much praisers. I met a woman one time in Mattoon, Illinois, and she said, you know, I really didn't need the Lord. She said, I was a good girl. I became a better woman. I was a school teacher. I served. She said, I've never spoken a lie. She said, I've never uttered a curse word. I just didn't really need it, but she said, I went ahead and got saved anyway. But when you would watch her in a Pentecostal service, she never moved a muscle. She had no praise. But friend, I've seen people that came from a long way off that were praise machines. You just couldn't hold them down. It didn't matter whether the sermon was mediocre, good, or bad. They were going to amen. It didn't matter whether they were singing beautifully or off key. They were going to praise God. Because it wasn't about the musical ability. It wasn't about the preacher's anointing. It was about where the Lord has brought me from. And Paul is just reminding the Lord, I'm going to have a difficult time being accepted by the church. Paul not only killed men in every synagogue and beat them in every synagogue, he even persecuted women. Acts 9, 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He didn't just mouth, he killed people. yet breathing and threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, in any way, in other words, any Christians, whether they were men or women, it didn't matter, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. That's what Paul was on the road to do when the Lord saved him. Don't tell me that your mother-in-law is so mean she can't get saved. If the Apostle Paul can get saved, anybody can be saved. It don't matter if they're a pornographer. It doesn't matter if they're a religious terrorist. It doesn't matter if they're a murderer. It just does not matter, because God is able. Galatians 1:13. I'm just giving you a little bit of what Paul had to forget. Galatians 1:13, for you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted. I was the number one terrorist against the church. That's what Paul said. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. And then in Acts 9:11, the Apostle Paul gets gloriously saved on the Damascus road. God strikes him down off of his horse. He's laying in the road. He said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 11, chapter 9, and the Lord said him to rise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man and how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jerusalem. God is telling Ananias to go down, because Paul, Saul of Tarsus, has found Christ. And Ananias has said, I don't want nothing to do with that guy. I do not want to. And so God said, well, you're going to go down there and baptize him. He said, I don't want to baptize him. I don't want a testimony. I just want to leave this guy alone. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. Did you ever notice in the Bible it's always about getting saved, getting baptized, and getting filled with the Holy Ghost? Paul had a horrible past to forget. Nobody in this building has anything compared to that. But he had great faith to believe that the finished work of Christ was superior to the grossness of his past sins and his violent actions. The devil wants to tell you that your past limits you. Your past has nothing to do with your future in the kingdom of God. Absolutely nothing. And let me explain to you how he said, I've done this one thing. I've done this one thing. He said, I have been able to forget those things which are behind and reach forth. And this is the way he did it. He had faith in the absoluteness of God's forgiveness. He believed that God could forgive to the uttermost. I've told you the story about the Baptist man that sat in my office across the street. And he said, I've sinned, Pastor, and I just don't think I can get right. And I said, well, God's forgiven. He said, no, I've done a lot of sins. And all of a sudden, he whipped out a little briefcase he had there, a computer printout. And then he just unfurled. It was from here to Michael. He said, these are my sins. You want to look at them? I said, it doesn't matter. We're not even saved from our sins. We're saved from sin, which is a spirit, which is a DNA. You're saved from a sin DNA. And the Apostle Paul had faith in the absoluteness of God's forgiveness. He understood what Micah was saying in chapter 7, verse 19, when he said, he will turn again, and he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've come to Christ, you can't even find your sin. To bring it up is to talk about Bigfoot. It's to talk about UFOs. I don't believe in UFOs. Well, I believe that there's unidentified flying objects, but I don't believe there are people from other worlds. I just don't believe it. You say, why? Give me a good picture. Everybody in the world has got a camera, and nobody's got a picture of one of these guys yet. I don't believe in Bigfoot. Somebody showed that to me, Bigfoot, and I said, that's my brother-in-law with his shirt off. He's a hairy guy. I don't believe that. You can't find Bigfoot. You can't find this alien and something else you can't find. If you come to Christ, you cannot find your sin. The devil is talking to you about things that don't exist. The devil is talking to you about UFOs and Bigfoot. They don't exist. I know people are making a living out of it, but they don't exist. And your sin does not exist. Some men's sins follow after them. That's the crowd you don't want to be. When you get to the judgment and your sin, but some men's sins go before them. My sin showed up, and God took my sin just like he did the Apostle Paul, and he didn't just put it on a shelf like a trophy. The Bible said that he cast all my sins in the depths of the sea. The Apostle Paul knew that every man that he had beaten, everybody that he had slaughtered, every woman that he had abused, all of that was non-existent because his sins had been cast into the sea. He had faith in the absoluteness of God's forgiveness. Secondly, he had faith in the finality of God's forgiveness. Once God forgives you, it can't be reversed. It can't be brought back. It can't be rehearsed. It can't be unearthed. It's in the sea. It's gone. It's washed away. And so when the devil comes dragging something up and says, here it is, that's not it. It might be a facsimile. It might be something the devil has created, but it's not your sin, because there is a finality in God's forgiveness that the devils in hell cannot revive. Thirdly, he could forget those things that behind him, as horrific as they were, because he had faith in the depths of God's forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so deep that you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't feel it, you can't find it. Nobody can go and cast a net into the sea. You can't get it on a hook. You can't throw out a hook and line, a rod and reel, and say, I'm going to find that sin. It's gone, 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 gone. And until you develop the faith in God's forgiveness, you'll never be what God wants you to be. You'll never do what God wants you to do. You'll never acquire what God wants you to acquire. You'll never have the ministry that God wants you to have, as long as the devil can draw you back with the ghost of your past and the sins of your past and say, they're still here. No, they're not. They are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of the Lamb is the greatest cleansing agent the world has or will ever know. Ever, ever, ever. He had faith in the finality of God's forgiveness. He had faith in the absolute of God's forgiveness. He had faith in the depths of God's forgiveness. It made him say, I'm a free man. You bring up your past, I don't know what you're talking about, because I am a new creature, a new creation, a new beginning. I don't believe in generational curses. It's gone, 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 gone. When I accepted Christ and he came into my heart and washed me with his blood, every sin was gone, every curse was gone, the generational lines were broken, praise God. I walk around and say, I'm made in the image of Almighty God. Next, the Apostle Paul could experience that forgetting of his past because he had faith in God's blotting ability. It's just not there. One of my favorite things, I like to watch old detective shows and whatever, and one of the things they always do, they always go to that motel room where that killer was, and he was, they always go, and there's a telephone there, and there's a tablet, a writing tablet, and there's nothing on the writing tablet, but they look real quick, real closely, and there's an imprint of where he wrote it, and then he tore out that page. That page is gone, but now there's an imprint. And they say, look at this. This is where he was going. He was going to Vegas to the Do Not Tell Motel. That's where he's going to stay. They always track him down with that imprint, not the writing, but the imprint. Oh, no, no, no. There is no imprint. God has perfect blotting ability. Anybody that brings up your sin, anybody that brings up your sin that you've committed to Christ is a liar. Do you realize that? And that's not only for you, that's against you. When you bring up some saint's sin in the past, you're a liar because that sin does not exist. It's been absolutely taken care of. It's been in the depth of the ocean. The finality of forgiveness is there, and God has blotted out the transgression. It is absolutely blotted out. I, Isaiah 43:25, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my sin, for my own sake, and will not remember my sin. What a God we got. Let me tell you what, Christianity is not halfway. Christianity is not about. It's not about right. It is right. It's not close. It's all together. It's not horseshoes. It's a ringer, praise God. It's 100%. You're not kind of saved. You're wholly saved. You're 100% saved. You're totally saved. You're radical saved. You're in the hand of God. No man can pluck you out. You don't have anything in your past that you can be indicted in on because you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He had faith in God's ability to control his own memory. God can control his own memory. Sean's famous sermon. Sean could have been a great pulpit preacher if he wanted to be. He preached that sermon, I've never forgotten it, about God's selective memory. The Apostle Paul knew that way before Sean did, 2,000 years. But he said, and will not remember thy sins. He had faith in God's ability to control his own memory. And God can't even remember it. What do you mean dragging up somebody's past sin? If you talk about somebody's past sin, you immediately become a partner with the devil. Is that really who you want to partner with? Friend, I'm going to tell you, gossip is terrible. I'm going to tell you, division is terrible. Reminding of people of their past failures is tragic. It's a crime against God, not man. You said, oh, but I remember what they used to do. What you're saying is that the blood of Jesus Christ is anemic. It doesn't work totally. It kind of works. It works for some people, but it doesn't work for your enemies. It only works for your friends. It works for whosoever will. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. And he said, you can't talk about what I used to be because God does not remember. He will never remember it again. And here is my favorite one. He had faith in God's mercy in perpetuity. That's one of my favorite words. It's just fun to say. Say it with me. Perpetuity. Perpetuity. You know what that means? Perpetuity. The state or character of being perpetual, endless or indefinitely long duration of existence or eternity. That's what perpetuity means. He is the Lord. It is the Lord's mercy. Paul knew this. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Paul had faith in God's mercy in perpetuity. He knew it would never, ever quit. God never quit loving you. God never gave up on you. The devil is a liar, And if he can get you to believe his lies, he can hold you back, draw you back, pull you back, and keep you from reaching forth. And so Paul said, I do not have count myself to have obtained or to be a perfect Christian or to be all that I have not apprehended in every way. But this one thing I have done, he said, I have developed the ability to forget those things behind me. He said, I don't remember the people I've persecuted. I don't remember the people I've beaten. As bad as it is, I cannot remember that because God is so great that he has literally buried my past. There's somebody in this building tonight that is saying, only if should not be a part of a Christian's vocabulary. You ought to say because of, not only if. Because of God's mercy, because of God's forgiveness, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the finished work of Calvary, what I did in the past is not going to hold me back. I'm going to rise up like a new individual, like a new soldier, praise God. And I am going to do all that God has called me to do, be all that God said I could be, and aspire and accomplish all the dreams that God has given me. And I'm not going to listen to saints that want to drag me down, or sinners that want to accuse me, or devils that want me to commit suicide, because praise God, this is a brand new day. And when I got up today, I knew that God's mercy was in perpetuity. It was forever and ever and ever, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. So I say to you, sir, I say to you, ma'am, forget those things that are behind you. It's time to reach out, to reach for those things that are before you, because God's got things lined up before you every day. There's a new acquisition. There's a new accomplishment. There's a new goal. There's a new ministry. There's a new thing that God has got prepared for you. But the devil is saying, no, I'm going to limit your reach. Your past limits your reach. But once you understand and get faith to say my past has no influence on me, not because of my flesh, but because of the finished work of Calvary and the compassion of my God, your reach gets longer and longer every day. And the things you couldn't do, you can now do. And the things you couldn't possess, you can have them now. And the call that you thought was forever against you is now available. You. And so you need to stand up and say, praise God, I'm going to take my place in God's will. I'm going to take my place in God's position, and I'm going to do exactly what God has created me to do, and my past will not limit me. Do you understand that the Apostle Paul had surrendered to the poison of his past? We wouldn't have much of the New Testament. We would not have the encouragement of the Word of God. And we would not realize that we are more than conquerors. We would not realize that he that is in us is greater than he that is against us. He would not realize that we are overcomers in every sense of the world. We are ambassadors for Christ. Praise God. And there is nothing too hard for God. That came from a man that said, I forget those things that are behind me because Jesus said I could, and because he brought it out of my past, and I have nothing now but a glorious future. Would you stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house? I told you I was coming tonight, and I had a word that was going to change somebody's life. I don't know whether you're on the first row, the last row, or the 13th row. I don't know whether you're watching online tonight, but somebody's got a word from God, because you are literally called of God for an effectual position in God's kingdom that is going to affect so many people. It's going to be a turning point in so many lives, and the devil has been trying to hold you back because you got a second marriage, because you got a criminal record, because you've backslid a couple of times. I said, the devil is a liar. He's not insulting you. He's insulting God. He's not limiting you. He's trying to limit the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, and it simply cannot be done. I challenge you. I challenge you. I don't care how bad your marriage was. I challenge you. I don't care how long you were in jail. I don't care how many pastors have pronounced judgment on you. I don't care how many times you've fallen and felt like you couldn't get up. God is saying all you need is faith in God. You need faith in His blood, faith in His forgiveness, faith in His power, faith in His mercy, faith in His compassion, faith in that thing called the cross. And you tonight are going to start from a brand new place, and you're going to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, praise God for His blessing and forgiveness in perpetuity. Is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and I am going to be what I want to be in God, and I'm going to be what God created me to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's too many people being...